I'm glad to be here and have the opportunity to share with you my perspectives on gun violence prevention. I want to thank Robin Mitchell, Katie Swanson. Is Katie here? Katie, oh, too bad. The members of my 2-4 men's group and my BBAF, that's brothered by another father, John Sherman, and of course, Miss Lisa. I've come to realize that these sermons are a collaborative effort. Boy, is it collaborative. John has 4 cards to show you, and I'll also read them. I'm interested in the immediate image that you create that in your mind's eye and based on the words and phrase. We'll come back to them later. Okay, ready? Sandy Hook. Next. Aurora. Next, Santa Barbara. And the phrase, not one more. These words are important, but also just words and not important. Don't you love conundrums? Okay, first, how did I get here? It starts with a story. Don't these things always seem to start with a story? So here's mine. At the Encinitas Street Fair last spring, I was walking around on the second day, enjoying the Sunday afternoon, and stopped to look at one of the vendors. Pottery, I think. You've been to those things, you know. I noticed a woman with several clipboards asking for signatures to meet ballot initiatives requirements, and I went to look over. I love those things, and, you know, I'll sign some. Some I won't. You've seen these. You get X signatures, and it becomes a ballot initiative. These varied from legalizing marijuana. I'm conflicted. Privacy initiatives, cigarette tax for brain research, anti-GMO, and one on firearms. Here's the firearms initiative. By the way, you can go to the state of California and check on these things and see how they're doing and what they're and the details. And it's just, I'm not going to read you the URL. Okay, so here it is. 16191-3-0031 Firearms Regulation Initiative Constitutional Amendment. Some of what it says, amends the California Constitution to establish a right to acquire, possess, transport, transfer, and use firearms for lawful purposes, including for defense of family, self, home, and property. Okay. Well, all right. Okay. Well, I'm confused, but it's okay. It eliminates state firearm owner registration regulations of ammunition and assault weapons restrictions. Okay, this is stupid. It permits limited state regulations, possession of firearms and ammunition by and sale to the dangerous, mentally ill, okay, and felons. I'm still stuck with this stuff. Handguns for those under 21, Teflon-coated armor-piercing and explosive ammunition, concealed weapons, fully automatic weapons, and background checks. Limits state regulations. Limits seizure of firearms. I concluded after Google search, you know, you go, who are these people? And you go Google and you look them up. the search by the two people who had signed up, this guy named Carell and Andre, that this was in an NRA-supported deal. I thanked the person and started to walk away. A young couple, late 20s, with a child in a stroller, came by and a man asked what these were. The reply was filled with comments, and when he asked about the firearms initiative, she said it was a way to reduce government regulations about firearms. His response was, I'll sign this one. I hate government getting in my business. I stopped in my tracks. What was this guy thinking? What immediately comes to my mind is an image of a child lying dead because someone shot them at a school. Now, I want you to go back to the words that John put up. What came into your mind when you saw those things? Was it, yeah, whatever was in your mind's eye? And we'll get to it because I think there's some similarities. So in any case, that initiative brought all those things to my mind. I went, this is crazy. I wanted to shout at the top of my voice, are you nuts? There are those in the audience who will believe I really wanted to say something else. I have a history. I realized then that I had met my problem. How in a public or private place could I begin a dialogue with someone I do not know about a subject I am so passionate about, even though I have no idea what the response may be? Does it make a difference because I want to act within my UU principles? I'm sorry. It has taken me a long time to get here, but I wanted to lead you through my process of how we can begin a dialogue outside of our own choir. It's really apparent to me that this sense about how we feel about gun violence is something we would share, that common choir kind of thinking. How can I start a dialogue about gun violence prevention with someone who supports gun rights? I talked to Lisa and several people, and in the process, I remembered Robin Mitchell's superb sermon on conservatively speaking. Robin did a grand job of placing several of the conundrums that liberal and conservatives have in understanding political and social issues and the difficulties we have in hearing each other, let alone talking to each other. Maybe. Maybe there's a link I could use. She mentioned Dr. Jonathan Haidt and his book, The Righteous Mind. I read it lots of times. I know stuff about moral foundations theory and what this book is all about. You know, this is like undergraduate underlining and stuff like that, man. I tell you, ask me. I can tell you. Several people I've talked with have read it, and I will, in typical UU style, recommend it. I really wish I had that Jewish grandmother voice, but here it is. Read it. It will be good for you. Okay. Dr. Haidt's moral foundation theory is the major focus of the book. But it is more and filled with some very interesting insights, anecdotes, and stories. By the way, the book club is on this Monday, the 8th of September, is going to be reviewing this. So get a hold of it and show up. We'll talk about it. I'm going to be there. Not that that's any inducement, but. One of those anecdotes and stories is about an elephant and a rider, and an analogy of taste buds. Moral foundations and taste buds? Okay. Moral foundations theory comes from social and cultural psychologists trying to understand why morality varies across cultures yet shows similarities and recurrent themes that support our moral decision making. So even though we're in Africa and we're in Asia and we're other places, there are recurrent themes that go with this thing. It proposes that several innate and universally available psychological systems and foundations of intuitive ethics. Okay, let's talk about the elephant and the rider a little bit. It's really cool. He says that we make moral decisions based on feelings and emotions. That's your elephant. And then create reasons to support them. That's the rider. The elephant is bigger and runs the decision process and is supported by the rider. Reason is the rider. Does Aristotle come to mind? Who's the reasoning creature? Who really makes the decisions? He's saying the emotional people make that. For example, when you saw the phrase, not one more, did you immediately go, oh, I agree with that. Not one more. But when you had to think about it, what's your justification for that? The elephant and the rider. Rather than reasoning show running the show, our emotions do. Enough sociological, anthropological psychology. By the way, I had to look up all of those three words and how to spell them correctly. But enough. You know, we could go into all this stuff. This is an academic book. So, no. I was looking for a way to approach someone who has a different understanding about preventing gun violence than I do. I wanted to know if Dr. Heat had an answer. Does he have an answer? Here's what I learned. Here are the six moral foundations, and I'm going to put them up on the chart. He said, yes. So I apologize. I'm going to put them up here. I don't want to go into a great amount of detail about this stuff. They're available, but I'm not going to talk about all six. I'm going to talk about a couple. Care, harm, liberty, oppression, fairness. That's what the six are. And I'll turn those around so everybody can see them in a minute. So care, harm, liberty, oppression, fairness, cheating, loyalty, betrayal, authority, subversion, sanctity, degradation. Thanks, John. Miss Vanna. Haight says progressives like us and conservatives score differently on each of the six foundations. We both tend to value care, harm, and liberty oppression to the same level of degrees, but the conservatives tend to value the others more. So what happens, it looks like a chart. It goes, here we are, and then we don't value the others as much. But conservatives, they go, okay, and they value the last four a little bit more. Haight says, think of these as different taste buds. Isn't it great? Haight uses taste buds in this thing. Okay, as taste buds, and that you react to them in varying degrees. We all have taste buds, don't we? Liberals have high reception for sugar. Well, okay, maybe we do, maybe we don't, I don't care. Conservatives also do, but to a lesser degree. I really like chocolate. Can't eat it much anymore unless it's yogurt, unless it's something else. But in any case, but all of us have varying degrees. Isn't it cool? Haight goes, one, you got the elephant and the rider, and now you've got taste buds. Okay. Care, harm, evolve. And so I'm going to do a couple, and I have an example for you. Care, harm evolved from the need to protect and care for suffering of children. I've said children, but it's more complicated than that. And compassion is the associated emotion. Care, harm. Fairness cheating is associated with benefits to a group members and stops members from getting basically a free ride. You can't get what you don't deserve. I'm really cutting this thing down a lot, but just to give you here. I have a story about care, harm, fairness, cheating we can all identify with. Social action in Murrieta. Put that in your mind's eye. What? Just out of curiosity, when I think about this, I think about a bus. Remember when the children were bused to Murrieta and there were protesters blocking them and demanding that children be taken to the border and not processed there? I'm just appalled. Children. It turns out that even though both progressives and conservatives value children, the subtlety is that liberals have a more universal view of child. Without respect to borders, whereas conservatives hold that child, people suffering really, is more likely to be triggered by people within the immediate group, nation, or culture. And conservatives tend to think that if there is cheating, unfair advantage. Sorry, I lost my place. Unfair advantage or freeloading, that the cheating impacts the effect of care harm. It isn't that they don't value children. The overriding factor was that these children were not from our nation, and they cheated to get there. So I go from a moral perspective. I said, well, it makes perfect sense. They didn't like these kids being there, and the fact that they cheated to get there kind of overrode their idea about harm. It's not that simple, but the rationale support the view over one another is based on moral foundations. That is why we are different, according to Haight. Okay, I'm still stuck with how to open a dialogue. I actually wrote to Dr. Haight. He wrote back. I was really impressed. I addressed him as Dr. Haight because I talked to Lisa and said, how should I address him? So she told me that. He does not have any research about how to address gun violence questions using moral foundations theory. I felt sad. It's a, really kind of a bummer. He does a lot of other good things, and I have another comment. After a couple of emails, he only had one piece of advice about how to address gun violence prevention. I read a couple of his academic articles 8 or 9 times. Start by engaging others in conversation. I had an epiphany. Enter Katie Swanson. I'm sorry she's not here. I really need to give her props. In her sermon, Good Enough, Mindful Self-Compassion led me to a wonderful way for me to hope there may be a way to begin a conversation. Although the sermon was about self-compassion, I took her discussion about empathy and sympathy and extended it to gun violence prevention. I hope I got this right. Empathy requires the ability to mutually experience the thoughts, emotions, and direct experience of others. Sympathy is a feeling of care and understanding for the sympathy of others. Here's the example. No one, except someone who has had a heart attack, can empathize about my terror each day about dying. You can't do it. We can all sympathize with Tiffany and support her battle against breast cancer. That's the difference. If I can begin to enter into a dialogue from a view of empathy, sympathy, can I start a conversation? How would you begin the conversation? How would you begin that conversation with that young man on the street who wanted to sign the Firearms Initiative? What's the common ground that we all might share that we could use sympathy or empathy? And now what? That brings me to my final epiphany. It's evident that there are many organizations out there that support gun violence prevention. Mothers Demand Action Against Gun Violence, Gun Policy Prevention Through Effective Public Policy. That's really a good one, by the way. It's got some really good ideas. The Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, and the Not One More Foundation. There are groups and actions for nearly every type of interest we can think of. I belong to several and will be doing more on my own. I meet each Sunday for a conversation about gun violence prevention. I promised I wouldn't make a blatant pitch to attend our meetings at 11:15 each Sunday in the common area. Oops. In order for us to really have a sense of the reality of gun control side of the issue, it will mean I have to understand the issue from their point of view. What I need is a common ground to explore ways of using sympathy or empathy. The issue of common ground seems to me to be the love of children. When I read these words I showed you in the beginning, I see those children. That is my vision. I see those words. I see children. That's my common ground. That's my common ground. I don't know what yours is, but that's mine. I'm going to create an opportunity for us to challenge ourselves about understanding the issues of surrounding gun violence and begin to try and understand the position of gun advocates at a community forum in January when we sit down and bring in speakers of various positions and listen. Listen. I wrote to Dr. Haight and asked if I could get a community forum together, would he come? Who would you like to hear? Who could challenge you outside of our own choir? Who would you like to hear from? My desire, my elephant, is no more loss. My rider wants to find a way. We've got lots of people out there who are petitioning, who are doing the legal work and everything else, but I want to find a way to listen and to be heard. With our heads in our hearts, I am clear that the maximum number of gun deaths due to gun violence is 0. Not one more. How can we get there? This will require us to go beyond our own choir. Instead of shouting at each other, shouting at the other side, we must be willing to sit down and listen. Find the area of common ground. I'll never waver from my support for our principles, and from that I hope we find a way to understand and find a way that we can reach out so we have not one more. So let it be written. So let it be done. My apologies to Yul Brynner. Blessed be.